Riley. There we go. There we go. Howdy, welcome. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad you've joined us. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton, host of this here podcast for this morning, afternoon, or evening. Please delete as appropriate. This is episode 144 of the Star Wars Report podcast, and we've got a lot to talk about. Got a great show for you lined up, and I'm going to just jump straight into it. I'd like to introduce and welcome to the program my dear sister, co-host, co-founder, executive editor extraordinaire, it's Bethany Blanton.
And chief in charge.
Chief engineer.
Yes, exactly.
Scotty, they... Okay, I was about to make a Star Trek reference and then realized it wasn't going to work. Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty
Does everyone
well.
Get titles?
Yes. We have a full editorial title list. We need like a flow chart. We need a flow chart and a spreadsheet and a budget. And then it'll be real. and you hear her voice. It's the one, the only, Teresa Delgado of Star Wars Bookworms here on the Star Wars Report Network. Hey, how's it going, Teresa?
All right.
I
don't know why that came from.
I love it.
Channeling my McConaughey.
Hey, every podcast could use a little bit more McConaughey. And speaking of McConaughey, he's tall, he's handsome. He's a dapper lad who can also grow a beard. You need the coiffed hair, though. That's the only thing that's missing.
I'm not even in the same league as that guy. Come on.
I dare disagree, Mr. Aaron Goins. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate your kindness.
Oh, no. I appreciate your kindness because you, Aaron, and you, Teresa, joined us, flew out to Atlanta, Georgia, to be part of the Star Wars Report Dragon Con special ops coverage team. That was we called ourselves, or at least it is now.
I was like, I don't think I recall.
I missed the memo.
Us ever saying that one time. I'll roll with it.
Blame the last party on Alderaan, and we'll do that.
Yeah.
No, that's what we're going to talk about. It's all Dragon Con, all episode. Last week we had the audio from the Rebels panel, and then of course the episode 7 panel, and we recorded a brief intro to that with Mark and kind of hinted at some of our time, but basically that's going to be the whole episode. It all starts back in July, and I texted Aaron and I'm like, man, dude, you going to Dragon Con? And this is like one of those 80s comedy movies where it's just going to be like suddenly he's like, man, I don't know. And then the screen flips and it jumps. 3 months later, he's on the podcast talking about his coverage of Dragon Con. But that was it. So, no, because Aaron,
because
you came
I
out.
Because I threatened him and said he had to go.
Yeah, something like that. It's a secret. It's a secret. Don't give up. Teresa, right. All right, quick side. Bethany, you can. Bethany and Aaron, all right, Teresa. It's a secret. We can't let the trade secrets out. No. All right, sorry. Aaron, so we were. No, you came out last year, Aaron, for the first time. So let's just kick it straight off. What was it like coming back for a second year, having just been exposed to the craziness that is Dragon Con for the first time last year?
It was good. I didn't feel quite as lost as I did the first year. The first year I had no idea how to get anywhere, and the crowds were humongous, and I just felt like I was lost in a crowd almost the entire time. Yeah. This time I actually felt like I kind of knew my way around a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I had a little bit more fun probably this time around. Plus, there were just cooler people there. Yes. You know, Teresa was there this time. She wasn't there last time. So it was good to hang out with her and just other people that we got to see as well.
Teresa, you were
20% cooler. Yeah, that's for all my MLP fans. 20% cooler.
Like the Mandos.
It's going to come up a lot, okay?
My Little Pony has an odd and sordid tale that involves this weekend that I'm sure we'll weave in and out of the tale as we recount our time at Dragon Con. But no, Teresa, you were the glue that held us together, or at least you kind of brought this, because we were there last year, and we did coverage, and Bethany and I were press, and then Aaron, you were there, but we were actually all four of us doing press this year, and we were kind of had the opportunity to kind of cover the convention and be on a few panels and really kind of be an organized part of the convention in a way we hadn't before. And so I've got to ask Teresa, you guys moderated the two panels. First of all, plug away. Where can folks find the amazing author panels? Because I know you guys are doing stuff over at Bookworms with that stuff.
Well, both panels, the audio, have been posted. It's episode 30 and 31, right, Aaron?
Correct.
Okay, so episode 30 and 31 of Star Wars Bookworms are our Dragon Con coverage and the panel audio. And yeah, so that's where.
No, I guess. That was so
strange. Basically, episode 30 is kind of like our recap of Dragon Con. Me and Teresa kind of recapped it from our point of view, and I know we'll be recapping it some here tonight too. But and then we have the audio from the Tropes panel that has Timothy Zahn and Christy Golden. And then episode 31 is the big author panel that was at Dragon Con, which had, I don't know if I'm going to remember them all, Michael Stackpole, Dave Wolverton, Kevin J. Anderson, Timothy Zahn, Christy Golden were there as well, Rebecca Mesta. I think that's everybody.
That's everybody.
They were all on the panel, and that was more about legends and canon and that kind of stuff. So that panel was really good. So that's episode 31 of Star Wars Bookworms. We do a bit of an intro for that, and then we have the full audio.
Let's park there for a second, sir. Let's park there for just a moment, because you guys were sitting across the table from, let's just throw out a few titles. The X-Wing series, right?
Yes.
The Zahn trilogy, the revival of the entire Star Wars brand. The author of it was sitting across from you, and you guys moderated it and did a fantastic job, by the way. And that was so cool. I just was sitting in the back, and Bethany was doing the write-ups, and I was doing some live tweeting, and it was just kind of a surreal moment, because it was really cool to feel like part of the greater Star Wars team at the track there, and you guys just did an amazing job.
Yeah, we actually took turns. Me and Teresa took turns sitting next to Timothy Zahn, because the first panel we did, I got to sit next to him.
That is hilarious.
Teresa was like, hey, I'm going to sit next to him. I think I should this time. And I was like, okay,
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Listen to this.
Wait a second.
You were like, no. I think I should be on the inside this time. And I was like, whatever. If you want to sit next to Timothy Zahn, just say so.
No, there was none of that happening. I honestly wanted to know where he wanted to sit. It had nothing to do with that.
So although, what you're saying is,
maybe Aaron, you should have not sat next to him on the first panel, since you were, basically shaking in your Converse.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was definitely a kind of a nerve-wracking experience, because you're up on stage, and I was on some panels last year at Dragon Con, but I didn't moderate any panels, and to be on a panel and moderating it, sitting next to, I wouldn't call them heroes, but, people that I've been reading their novels for years, and it is a little bit kind of surreal of an experience, and I was nervous. I admit it.
No. That, as Matthew McConaughey would.
All right.
Yes!
Oh, goodness. Wow.
That was great. We did prepare pretty hard for both of those, and try to make sure that we gave the audience a good balance of audience questions, and then also sort of pre-asking some of the obvious questions that we knew would get asked. And we tried to make sure that it was entertaining. So hopefully, we did our job.
No, absolutely. In fact, there's this picture. I think it's on our Facebook, or maybe it's in that album you posted, Teresa. Maybe we'll have to pull it out and post it with the podcast show notes. Of it's like you and Aaron are in the zone. Teresa, you're furiously doing research and searching for different book series and titles and some question ideas on your iPad, and Aaron, you're talking seriously about what we're doing. And I can't remember what you said, Teresa. At some point you're like, Riley, Google this, and I was like, yes, yeah, I got it.
I did. I was dictating out stuff. I'm like, Riley, you do this. Aaron, you do this.
You were
We've got 5 minutes.
You were in the zone. What was even funnier, but this picture, it's like you guys are in the zone. It's just me off in the background, like with my legs crossed, leaning against the back of the Star Wars room, just kind of looking off in the distance. Like
You look like you're the bodyguard trying to act nonchalant and blending in.
I need a suit and glasses. No.
Yeah, put your finger up to your ear and be like, yeah, it appears safe right now.
Timothy Zahn's in the house. Watch the far corner. EU fans are we're good. We're secure. Very secure. Marge 8's still alive. Legends are more awesome than regular stories. I'm the stars.
You said that twice, so.
That's true. There was a guy. It was Was it? It was Jim. Jim Sean. Jim Sean was the one who said that legends are often better than the actual history in both panels. So there's that.
The listeners are going to have no idea what you're referencing.
No, you can figure it out. Can figure it out. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Well, we jumped out. Whole thing up here.
That's true.
Let's back it up to Friday.
That's true. Well, I'll tell you, and what was the first thing we did really was the Rebels panel, which that was interesting. I get a note about 5-10 minutes beforehand. Brandy walks up to a couple of us and says, hey, Brian's not going to be able to make it. The illustrious Brian Young of the Full of Sith podcast and editor-in-chief of Big Shiny Robot. I'm big on the title thing now. I think it gives us legitimacy as members of the Star Wars media, as the illustrious host of the Rebel Force Radio, Jason Swank says. Although I might make it kind of clunky if I keep doing titles. I'm going to stick with it for now. You guys just yell at me if it starts getting old.
Old.
Okay.
Got it.
Just kidding. You haven't given me a title yet, so.
Oh wait, it's on the business card. You guys are official contributors as reporters. Well, I couldn't decide to go for a reporter contributor. Contributor sounded kind of. That's more of the writing capacity because podcaster does anyway. That's a whole thing.
yes. I'm
so confused. So Friday.
Friday, the Rebels panel. Brandy Rotzi, the track director at Dragon Con for the entire Star Wars track, says Brian's not going to be able to make it. And so I just kind of looked behind me and looked the other way and was like, hey, I'll introduce folks. Because I was like, I want to moderate a panel because I thought that'd be cool. So I actually had the opportunity to sit in and moderate the Farewell to Clone Wars and Hello to Rebels panel, which, by the way, was way, way more packed than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we kind of went
standing
through.
Standing room only.
It was Chaos Cosplayer Extraordinaire Chaos Bria. And let's see, it was Amy Ratcliffe, myself, James from BobaFett.com, you, Bethany, and Tom Hutchins of the Mando Mercs. And it was a fun panel. I was surprised at just how many people were there. Because, I would venture to say as many people were there as were at the Star Wars Episode 7 panel. Last year, it seemed to be pretty packed, so that was cool. And of course, all the audio is on the previous episode. If you're listening to this, so you can actually hear the panel in its entirety and some of the Q&A there. But that was fun. That was definitely a blast.
I think y'all did a really good job, and I had fun live tweeting it. So
hey, there
when
you
I
go.
Could get Twitter to work.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, the Marriott is just like this.
Black hole for internet.
Hellish shell of a black hole. Yeah, black hole of internet. It's like you jump over to the Hilton, ping, everything's fine. But the AT&T gods just don't like the Marriott Marquis downtown Atlanta for some reason.
No, they don't.
Oh, man. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I'm trying to figure out where to go next.
Well, we could... I have no idea. I'm not the host of the show. I'm trying to think of ideas for you, Riley.
Hey, I'm running on the wake up call for me was 4:45 this morning for Air Force PT. So I'm kind of running on fumes here because I was going to try to do in chronological order, but then I knew for sure I was going to miss something. Was the thing, but let's talk about what was.
I say we each give a few highlights, like our favorite. Favorite things.
See, this is why we keep you around, Teresa. Saving the Star Wars report. No, I'll tell you. Let's do like favorite moment that comes to mind.
Yeah, and they all have to be different. So you can say, well, that was my favorite moment too.
My favorite
but,
moment was really
but
the
I also
experience
had
in seeing friends. Doesn't count. Has to be specific.
Okay, so a specific moment from the convention. Favorite ones.
Well,
Aaron, you're starting.
All right.
Alphabetical order, Aaron.
not fair. Happens every time. One of my favorite moments was Deadpool and Riley and their and their awkward interaction.
That was so uncomfortable.
So Aaron, give us all the details. All the hair stroking,
the people want to know.
Deadpool
Let's
details.
See how much I can remember. I'm a little hazy of that night, but
I remember.
So we're all sitting around a table at the Suits and Sinatra party. That's where it happened, right?
Indeed. Yes.
Okay.
We're sitting around the table.
Pause. That is the greatest indicator of Dragon Con's experience of any other.
When did this happen?
Have.
Did
Wait,
this really
the,
happen?
What the thing? Right. Sorry. Continue, sir.
When did this happen? Did it really happen? Did I dream
this? Was Deadpool
this?
Actually there, or was I just dreaming that? No, yeah. So this Deadpool, this person in Deadpool cosplay came up to Riley and just awkwardly stared at him and then began to stroke his head.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious, just to see Riley's reaction to that and just how uncomfortable you were. And you wanted to be anywhere but there, I think, in that moment.
I think Riley's eyes grew about another half their size at that moment, too.
There is photographic evidence of this, isn't there?
Well, yes. You did take a selfie after we pestered you to do so.
I think it's on the Jedi news piece that I did. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, that was another amazing experience. I guess, no. Bethany, you're next. She's alphabetical.
Oh, goodness. I did really like being on the panels, but that's not really a moment. So my moment is when I saw the My Little Pony Mandalorians. And I'll let Teresa tell part of this too, but I saw them and my cosplay world kind of went upside down because I thought to myself, I would have never imagined that. And that is so perfect. It was incredible. And they were just standing there so happy. I think I took about 20 pictures of them. I hope that I didn't freak them out. But anyway, so later I saw, I showed a photo of this to Teresa, who at that point, Teresa, you can continue the story because I know you want to talk about this.
I fangirl flailed so hard I about lost it.
Yes,
I lost it.
You did. Actually, you started jumping up and down and squealing.
I was just say about lost it.
And I was like, where are they? We have to go find them. We have to go now. And Bethany's like, that was like 2 hours ago. And I'm like, I don't care.
I don't know if you realized it, but you were actually pushing me and actually grabbing a hold of me quite frantically. Like, give me the ponies. Give me the ponies.
No, I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
No, I thought it was funny.
But we should give some shout outs to them. So they're called the My Little Mandos. And we've spent the past week since Dragon Con trying to find them. And Bethany just found them through listeners, I guess.
Yes, it was at Hoffman on Twitter tweeted me. I guess he probably saw that I was tweeting about it, or that he probably heard it on the show. And so they're in their garrison. Apparently they're in the same garrison. So he tweeted me a link to their Facebook page. And so of course I went over there and started pestering them, and they gave me their Twitter handle, which is at
my little mandos. Yeah.
So yes.
And they don't have very many followers. So everybody listening, you need to go follow the My Little Mandos and go to their Facebook page and give them a like, cause they only have 122 likes.
Oh, we can do better than that.
We can do a lot better than that.
Send the Star Wars Report hordes over their way for sure. I'll tell you what. No, I'll jump in then. I guess since we're doing the alphabetical thing, It was actually the last day, and you guys had just left that morning, and we'll jump back and chronicle our tragic departure and 3 a.m. adventures at down, never mind. Anyway, there was a part of my brain that short-circuited and said, don't say that on air. But no, we were at McDonald's at about 2:30 a.m. in downtown Atlanta, and it was awesome last night. But that's not the moment. The moment actually comes the following morning, Monday morning, where some friends of ours from Tennessee, shout out to John Hale, who we knew very well from our time when we used to live in Dayton, Tennessee. He's now in the Chattanooga area, but he had traveled down. He'd come by and he'd seen us on some of our panels, and we just wanted to go say hi. And we did, and we had kind of a little bit more time. We swung by the press room, just wanted to say goodbye to the folks there, to Dan Carroll and the crew that were so nice to have us there as press. And I was trying to remember, we had a couple stops of just, mm-hmm. like, we wanted to say thanks and bye to a couple people.
And we stopped by the 501st table.
Yeah, and of course the Star Wars room. And, which, by the way, side note, like, if we can't get the Star Wars room for next year for a Star Wars Report Live podcast, which we'll get more on that later, we should totally do, this is like side business of the show, we should totally hook up with the 501st and do it at the booth there. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Anyway,
sorry. But no, my story. I keep distracting myself. No, this was a really strange kind of moment for me because I'm a huge fan of this guy. But we swung by the Walk of Fame briefly, and our friend John was just kind of hanging out with us. And we went through and just wanted to say hi to Sam Witwer. Specifically, I wanted to go up and say thank you because the first year we ever went to Dragon Con was 2011. And Sam Witwer was there, and he was one of the first people we ever interviewed. And it was just one of those things where we were actually saying hi, and I think we had mentioned that we had just started the Star Wars Report. And I was like, oh, he's like, cool, I'll come on the show. And so he, like, dragged us out of the Walk of Fame to, like, one of the back exits and just took us outside the building and did, like, a 10-minute interview. I mean, it's back in the archives. You guys can find it, and it's on, of course, StarWarsReport.com/SWR episodes for our entire archive, and you can find it there. But it was just one of those times where I was a huge fan of Seb. This is before they'd even announced that he was playing Darth Maul. He kind of hinted at it in the interview, actually. And it was very nice of him, and it was kind of one of those early successes that kind of keeps you fueled as a podcaster and fan when some of these folks are nice enough to grant you their time and energy to, you know, actually come on your show and recognize what you do. And so I just wanted to go by. I said, hey, Sam, I don't think you'd remember me. We swung by the first year we ever came, and what the story I just told you guys, I briefly said to Sam Witwer, who takes good pictures, but not as good as Sam Huntington. We'll get to that in a minute. And he looked up, he said, oh, well, what's the name of the podcast again? And I said, oh, Star Wars Report. He's like, oh, yeah, I remember you guys. I've listened to you before. And I looked over at my buddy John, and I looked back at Sam Witwer, and then I just turned around and said, that's it, I'm leaving. it was so cool. Because, A, he was super cool and nice, as only Sam Witwer is. And B, just because in the early days of the podcast, there were a lot of people from Dragon Con or Fan Days or even Celebration 5 and, of course, Celebration 6 that came on our show who have no business, or at least they don't. There's no grand benefit for them to come on our podcast. And so whether it's Sam Witwer or Anthony Daniels or people like that, it's just one of those things that I always want to be sure that I, you know, remain humbly grateful at just how cool so many of these Star Wars creators are, actors, directors. But anyway, that was cool. That was legitimately awesome.
So I guess it's my turn then.
It is your turn, Teresa.
Sam Huntington.
Yeah.
So Aaron and I on Sunday went to the Walk of Fame, and we decided that we would get pictures with Sam Witwer, and then I wanted one with Sam Huntington. And when I finally got up there to talk to him, he was really cool, and he talked to Aaron about his t-shirt and about his tattoo, and he talked to me about my Ewok hoodie and different things. And then when we went to take pictures, he took like over 20-something selfies of me and him and Aaron photobombing in the background pictures. And it was just hilarious and awesome. And he was really, really nice and really adorable. Throw that in there. So, yes, Sam Huntington, because he's awesome.
Yes, he was. And that was after the... was that before or after the Five Truths and a Lie thing that we went to?
It was after that, because we told him that we had seen that, and he just started laughing.
That was something else, by the way.
That was funny.
I'm glad we kind of gave that a try, because I heard great things about it last year, and they did not disappoint in that panel. There were so many cool non-Star Wars stuff, too. Like, as many Star Wars stories and Star Wars panels and, you know, all the coverage we've done... there's a great podcasting panel. Well, here we go. Here's an idea. Let's make the rounds again. What was your favorite kind of non-Star Wars moment, or at least like outside of the realm of what you typically expect at Dragon Con? Because that's always, well, really everything's outside of the realm you'd expect.
Yeah, you kind of yeah.
But I'd love to jump to you, Aaron.
Okay. Let's see. Outside of Star Wars?
Yeah, you can't say sitting next to Timothy Zahn.
I can think of one thing
Zahn.
That was pretty cool that Aaron rather enjoyed.
Oh, do tell.
It happened on the very first day. It happened kind of in conjunction with the Rebels panel at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Was it the Doctor Who cosplayer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Yeah, so there was this guy that came in to the Star Wars panel room who was basically dressed as the Ninth Doctor, played by Christopher Eccleston, and it was just hilarious. Like, he had a TARDIS, which is basically the Doctor's time machine, for those of you that don't know what Doctor Who is, but he had basically built it out of cardboard. He was dragging it around on plywood, but he just stayed in character the entire time, which I thought was hilarious. I'm a big Doctor Who fan, so it was just kind of funny to see his dedication to the character. And you know, he had the exact outfit on perfect. He actually looked a lot like the actor, although a lot younger. But that was kind of a funny non-Star Wars moment, even though it kind of happened in the Star Wars area.
Nice.
No, but can I do
did
one
y'all
more?
Not see that?
I totally missed it. Yeah.
Wow.
I think we were really prepping for the panel at the same time.
Yeah, you guys, I think, were already on stage at that point, and he was kind of just wandering around in the back of the room.
Nice.
Which was pretty hilarious.
Just Doctor Who chilling out.
Yep.
Nice. Well, so Bethany, do you have a kind of non-Star Wars, or at least maybe one that's kind of exemplary of the Dragon Con experience?
Well, I'm trying to find the name of the particular panel. But I can't.
I might remember. Which one was it?
I can't get it to pull up. I can find it myself.
It's great.
Oh, goodness. I would actually have to say my favorite non-Star Wars related anything at all would be the moments where you can hang out in the Marriott, usually in the evening, when all of the different cosplayers gathered together. Because there are so many amazing costumes there, and everybody's just having fun and taking pictures, kind of showing off their different costumes. And I have to say, I really liked that. Just seeing all the hard work and hours and probably tears and money and blood that went into making those costumes. I think I'm secretly a cosplayer at heart.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening. At some point, it's happening. You and I, it's going, I think at this point, it has to be like something, some really special event, but we will both be in costume at some point.
Someday.
Sure. Oh, man. Teresa, do you want to jump in with one?
I'm going to say my late night rave.
Oh, last party on Alderaan.
Here's the thing.
I did that one.
I had no idea that there was parties after parties. So we finished the Suits, Sinatra, and Star Wars party, and this guy, random guy who sat down at the table we were at, who had like a boombox in his purse, you know, and he's playing
he's
drum
all about
and bass.
The band purse.
He's like, yeah, I'm just waiting around to go to the rave. And I'm like, what? Rave? What? 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 And he's like, yeah, it starts at 3:00. And I'm like, well, what time is it? I need to go change. So I went and changed real late and went back out to, I mean, it wasn't really like a rave. It was just a really late night dance party, but it was definitely rocking and there was a lot of people there considering how late it was. And I was impressed.
That is, I mean, the party scene at Dragon Con, really, that was mine and Bethany's. We got exposed to that more so because of you guys. We went to the last party on Alderaan for more than 5 minutes this time. and got to hang out. You guys weren't there, but we were at the Night Attack after party with Professor Shy Guy and Ali Spagnola, just amazing DJ and guitarist. It was a party. I mean, that's because that's not typically my scene, but it was actually a lot of fun to kind of let loose a little bit more this weekend than we have. Because in years past when we've covered Dragon Con, I've kind of made a joke about how Bethany and I flee the city at, you know, about 8 p.m. usually.
Well,
but this year it was not as much the case, and a lot of that had to do with staying on property.
Well, that and because the nightlife at Dragon Con has changed somewhat, and they've regulated it more to where
security's better too.
Security's better, and they've regulated it more where if you're going to something that's a little more adult, then they'll give you a warning for it on the program.
Well, and the badge check and that sort of thing. But even then, like there was still. I feel so bad for some of the volunteers who I heard some. You always hear stuff, and I know mm-hmm. that's a tough job. If you're a volunteer and you're still logging hours at 3 a.m.
Oh goodness!
It's
wow.
Never fun.
I've had to do that before at a convention, so I feel bad for them a little bit, but not at the same time.
Well,
I've done it.
You're like, I've done this before. Well, and I was really sad that we left the Night Attack party just shortly before.
Kill me.
The freaking director of Guardians of the Galaxy goes to it. Like, this is a small,
man.
Private party
that
you don't know about unless you know people.
Yeah.
And we left it early to go meet you guys at the last party at Alderaan. It's your fault.
Freaking party on Alderaan and Miss James get no.
Oh, sorry. But all I'm saying is next year we are taking glow sticks and blinky lights because I felt really lost without them until I managed to find some on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm still suspicious of that. You say you found them on. I think you just started swiping them off people.
Like, and there's somebody holding it. All of a sudden that you see a hand reach out from behind a piece of furniture or something, and that person disappears behind the couch, and then the smiling Teresa pops out with another glow light in her hand.
Oh, me. Yeah, no, well, all right, so some great stories. I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll kind of run through the chronological events of what we did, courtesy of Bethany's amazing daily recaps at StarWarsReport.com. And in fact, before I roll through kind of the chronology of events, which I'm kind of glad we did that, because what stays with you is kind of the highlights, but I do want to kind of recount what we did day
to day. Just at Dragon Con, you go. It's just nonstop. Everything is nonstop.
Yeah. And it's hard to remember everything, which is why I'm so glad you have these. So, by the way, if you're listening to this podcast and you're curious about our time at Dragon Con, here's what you want to do. You want to go to StarWarsReport.com/DragonCon2014. It's all run together, Dragon Con 2014. And that's where you can find a list of all of our coverage. Because there's so many blog articles and stuff, it can be kind of hard to find all in one place. So I wanted to make an easy place, especially if you're listening to the audio, to be able just to go to an easy-to-remember URL. So again, that's StarWarsReport.com/DragonCon2014. And Friday, we all arrived Friday. We were actually thinking about going up Thursday, like it's staying near the airport, just so that we didn't have to drive. But we... That was sadly not to be, Bethany. But we had a great fast professional check-in at the media room, got ourselves rolling, and then all just kind of hung out.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say we had a very great fast and professional check-in and experience with the hotel.
Nope, that was another story.
No,
no, but we got our passes, and then kind of went up to the Star Wars room, kind of scoped out the area. They had all of the amazing. You know, all handcrafted, all by fans, all of these amazing, like, Star Wars Rebels art and Sabine's cool Rebels logo. And
it was really cool because it was definitely Rebels themed, but then it looked like it looked like the Empire had gone in and done a whole campaign of join the Empire and et cetera. And then it looked like Sabine had come along and done all of her artwork and graffiti all over it. So that was cool. I really liked that.
And I just remember I was listening back to some of the audio from the panel today, how subsequently the first thing we actually did at the convention, the Clone Wars and Rebels panel, just like at some point everyone just started laughing at me, because I think it was like three or four times in a row that I just kept calling Ezra, what was the word I used? It was like not
Aladdin.
No, see, I stopped doing the direct Aladdin comparison because I thought it was getting old and tired. So instead, I kept referencing. Street Rat. I kept saying the Street Rat version of Luke Skywalker. And at some point, James just kind of called me out and was just like, every time you say that, I keep thinking of the songs. And I think we did actually burst into song more
twice.
Than not that anybody was counting. To be fair, I think one of them was James. I think I only was responsible for one. Or was it two? Was it two?
I don't know, but I'm kind of surprised you didn't drop a Frozen reference in there somewhere.
That's true. I don't know if I did drop... No, I did drop a Frozen
he
reference
did.
In the Episode
I'm
7
trying
panel.
To remember what it was.
It was during the Episode 7 panel.
Oh,
it's somewhere in the audio. I will personally ship an action figure that I'm looking at. I have like a case of them, of Star Wars action figures that I got, to somebody who gets that audio clip of me referencing Frozen in one of those panels from last episode. Prizes! That's the way we roll at the Star Wars Report. And then Bethany and I took off to the sound. This is actually pretty cool. This is kind of the professional side of Dragon Con. They have a lot of really cool like blogging and podcasting. And their podcasting track is run by Brian Dunaway and Nicole Spagnola. Excuse me, Spagnolo. It was Ali Spagnola, the guitarist, Nicole Spagnolo, the track director for podcasting. But we went to this podcast panel that was called The Sound of Silence. Nobody listens to your podcast, and that's awesome. And it was pretty cool because it was like a communal experience. It's like the dirty underside of podcasting, because at some point, if you've done a podcast at all, there you've thought to yourself, I don't understand why we only have insert number of listeners here, or like why do we have only insert number of listeners? And it doesn't really matter what the number is. Nobody's ever happy. And it was actually really cool because they kind of talked a lot about. I actually took a lot of notes, and some changes that we're going to make this fall to Star Wars Report are going to be it. In fact, should I announce some of those now? I probably should have done that at the beginning of the show. I think Bethany's shaking her head. I'll save that for the end. We'll just make a note and remind ourselves. But we've got some cool new changes / additions to the podcast format. And that's kind of what this panel did. It was really cool. It was kind of focusing Justin Robert Young, who I'm a huge fan of, his work on the Night Attack podcast and some other things. Was actually he was kind of taking lead on it, and he opened up and he stood up behind the table and picked up a mic and said, "All right, everybody, raise your hand if you have a podcast." And in a room of about 300 people, about 250 of them raised their hands and said,
"Yeah,
all right, keep your hands in the air if you have more than 10 listeners." And of course, pretty much everybody kept their hand in the air. And he said, "All right, I want you to imagine every week." 10 people come to your house to listen without responding, to sit and listen exclusively to what you have to say. That's like cult level territory right there. Cult leader territory you have transpired into. And that cracked me up a little bit. And that was kind of the tone of it, where he had some really cool stuff on like how to create a show that's more audience focused and less numbers focused. And that's always a kind of good reminder. And also, it's a really good, I mean, Tom Merritt, Veronica Belmont, they're on it. I'm just huge fans of a lot of these people's work. And we would see them later in the evening. But that was a really cool panel. I really enjoyed that.
Andy.
Bethany.
Well, y'all did that.
Yeah, you guys were at voice acting, correct? How was that?
Yeah, we went and saw some voice actors. Specifically, I went to go hear Bill Farmer, who does Goofy for all of the Disney stuff. And we've had him
just interviewed,
on,
right?
Disney Vault Talk. And so went to go hear him, and there were some other notable voice actors on there whose names I can't remember, but I know I've seen them in stuff like Ed and Eddie and Space Ghost and some other stuff, but it was actually pretty good. It was entertaining. So I mean, I enjoyed it. I think Aaron fell asleep.
That was good.
We were preparing for the Suit Sinatra and Star Wars thing. And then, Bethany, you hit the last few minutes of the intro to costuming panel, which was packed.
It was packed. I could see why, because even for the short time that I was there, it was a really good panel. The people on it who represented the 501st, Rebel Legion, Mando Mercs, and more. But they really know what they're talking about when it comes to Star Wars costuming. I mean, obviously, they are the Star Wars costumers. So they just had a lot of great stuff to say, and I loved how Star Wars specific it was.
Yeah. And then, Bethany, you and I kind of detoxed and relaxed and actually went to Brian Young's panel where he did kind of a reading and discussion from his, a children's illustrated history of presidential assassinations. And that was pretty amazing. It was a small crowd. It was in the Kaleidoscope track. But it was kind of cool just to relax and hear Brian talk about his passion on that book. And that book, the genesis of that book is pretty remarkable too. But that was kind of our time to relax. And then we all got dolled up, folks, for the Suit Sinatra and Star Wars party, aka the Deadpool molestation of Riley party is what it was. No, not quite. At least Riley was somewhat uncomfortable at that fact. But no, the Suits and Sinatra and Star Wars party capped that off. And what an amazing evening. We got to hang out with folks. Brian Young was there. All the Star Wars track people were there. The Tashi Station folks were there. And who, by the way, huge shout out to Brian from Tashi Station, who was nice enough to provide some of the audio of these panels. Because my first day, I didn't have all of my equipment to do recording. So like the Episode 7 panel, especially the Rebels panel, came to us courtesy of those guys. So huge shout out and thank you to the folks over at Tashi Station. But yeah, that was it. That capped off our evening at the Suit Sinatra and Star Wars party. It's classy. I think we look pretty good. I mean, I'm just gonna throw that out there. and then of course there's the last, after a long night, there's the amazing picture, Teresa, of you cuddling the small Ewok doll, and that was amazing.
Yes.
That was amazing.
Yeah. He was so cute.
His name is Reebok.
Reebok. Mm-hmm.
His name is in that post, so yeah.
Oh, nice, mm-hmm. Nice. And then it was time for Saturday, the biggest day at Dragon Con, the crazy day. The crowds were out in force, and we were there. So, Bethany, it says a lot about our personalities the way the parade went.
Yes, it does.
Because I was pretty tired. I was pretty worn out. Like, and I didn't go to the after party, Teresa. And I was still like, I'm an old man in a 23-year-old body in many ways. But we did get to bed pretty late/early, but Bethany and I got out to the parade just a few minutes before it happened, and yep, it was just horribly packed out. I mean, everywhere you looked, there was pretty much a layer of a dozen people deep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was just, couldn't get through. And that, so Riley just went into,
I just woke up like just 20 minutes ago.
So Bethany's like, no, I'm fine. And she just like boots off past the crowd.
I just kind of take off to find a good place.
Found your like little spot, and you took all these amazing photos at the parade. And what did Riley do?
Riley's like, I'm going to go sit down in the meeting room for an hour.
And that's what I did. And so Bethany's like, wow, I'll take the photos. I've got it. So I was like, okay, well, and you know what? Considering like having the pictures of the parade was great, and we have that was part of our Dragon Con coverage is up at StarWarsReport.com. We have a whole gallery of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, that was probably the best decision that could have been made on all parties. But anyway, but the parade, as always, it's amazing. We've been a couple years in a row. I probably won't go next year just because we've been a couple times now. So, but who knows?
They pretty much have all of their best costumes on display. So yeah, it's kind of the way to, in an hour, get you know, three quarters of the costumes at the convention and most of the best ones there.
Yeah. So, and that is kind of the creme de la creme, the best of the best podcast. No, the costumes.
Yes. Late.
And then Bethany and I went to a Tolkien panel where they had the guests of Middle Earth. They had a couple of the dwarves. I can't see.
Oh,
we do have it. Billy Boyd, Craig Parker, Jed Brophy, and Adam Brown.
You need to tell
Brown.
The Craig Parker story.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Like, when we first arrived, excuse me, when we first arrived on Friday, we
Riley,
did...
I think you need to learn how to cough like this.
Like that?
Yes, like that.
Is that
exactly. Mm-hmm. It sounds more
Teresa,
polite.
Thumbs up or down on the cough.
Oh, I'm the expert cougher?
Yes.
Is that what this is? Because
yes.
I'm the one who got Concred?
Yes.
I mean, that may or may not have been the case.
Okay, well, it was.
Yes.
Sure, that sounded great. That's fabulous.
Teresa's so happy with me right now, I can tell. No, we ran into Craig Parker. Where did we run into Craig Parker?
Just kidding.
Oh, goodness.
I deserve that.
Aaron's like, you people are ridiculous.
Craig Parker, who played Haldir the Elf from Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. and more recently he was in Spartacus.
Oh. Evil bad guy. Just go with
evil bad guy. McKillicuddy was his name in Spartacus. You heard it here first. But no, we interviewed him last year, the year before. 2 years ago, yeah. I remember because he said so.
Right,
Evidently, he can remember things pretty well. That's the takeaway. Craig Parker remembers stuff.
Riley and I were lost at that point in time.
This is so embarrassing.
Which happens to everybody at DragonCon.
Fourth year we've been, and we go, all right, we've dropped everything off at the Holiday Inn. Doop-de-doo, we're going two blocks down. We pass the Hyatt, pass the Marriott, and walk confidently into the Hilton Hotel where the media room is. Riley's all like, I remember from the email, it's definitely in the Hilton. That's the Riley confident
voice. And this is
voice.
Bethany being like,
I think it may have been the Hyatt. Are you sure? Well, okay, well, we'll go. And so I'm like, no.
So this is where our personalities differ in that if Riley gets the directions and the kind of what we're going to do next, but when Bethany sets her mind on something, it happens. So if Bethany
I'm
does not...
I'm getting the parade photos if it kills me.
Yes.
No, so we walk in the Hilton, and I'm like, wait, this isn't quite right. And I dejectedly, I start to pull out my phone, and then I'm like, I've learned the easy thing is to just walk up to one of the awesome information booths. Those are information booths, turns out, your best friends at Dragon Con.
Yep.
And I walk up to the guy, and I kind of dejectedly look at him, and I said, where's the media room? Is that in the Hyatt? And he's like, yeah, it's in the Hyatt. And then I hear a voice behind me. And Bethany, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this was the sequence of event. Hey, Riley! I turn around, I look, and I see a very dapper and handsome man, and I immediately recognize him. It's Craig Parker. It's Haldir the Elf. Some of my favorite books and movies of all time, Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. It's the guy from Spartacus, the popular, prolific television and film actor, Craig Parker. I was like, okay, but then like there was a 3 second delay, and it was like realization in 3, 2, 1. Wait, he just said Riley, and I was like, we interviewed him for 10 minutes 2 freaking years ago, mm-hmm. and he's just like, hey Riley. I was like, he recognizes me. All in this, which are then another 3 second delay. 1, 2, 3. You lost? And I was like, yes, we got turned around again. And he just kind of laughed. And he just, yeah, Craig Parker laughed at me. There was that. mm-hmm. And of course, we then made our way to the Hyatt, and that's where we first met. But that was the, and then we went on to the Tolkien panel. Which was an absolute blast. We have audio from that. That'll probably be appearing very soon on the Secrets of the Hobbit podcast with Father Roderick von Hogan and Bethany and myself. We just have to put, I have to polish up that audio and get it over to Father Roderick. It's reminding me now. But yeah, there's that. And what time did you guys finally make it back to the convention center that day? I'm curious because we were separated for the bulk of Saturday, if I remember correctly. Aaron, Teresa, right, hang on, we'll be right back.
And we're back. No, no, Teresa, I just jumped to you because we were reunited later Saturday after Bethany and I kind of got some photos of the Younglings pod race, which was awesome. And you can find more pictures of it. And we also went to the Sword and Laser live, which was kind of non-Star Wars. But I was realizing, for time's sake, we'll have to jump through a few more of the experiences. And that was when you guys had the Tropes author.
No,
panel.
No, we did episode 7 first.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, what's episode 7 was first.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, yeah. But
so you guys were in the audience. What did you think?
Well, we were kind of in the audience. We were sort of sitting on the side of the stage. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool because it was standing room only. And I didn't really realize it was going to be that packed, but I also didn't know what you guys were going to talk about because we don't really know anything.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. That's for sure. I think I had more fun distracting Nancy because she was sitting on the edge, and so I was making faces at her and stuff.
Oh, there's this epic photo of Nancy raising her hands in the air, clapping. Response to Luke Skywalker. Well, I think no. Actually, maybe it was Mara Jade being in Episode 7.
No, actually, I think that she was clapping. That was when Brian Young walked in the room. That picture.
Oh, really?
Because I took it. Nice. And I think that was when it was, and it looks like she's cheerleading.
It does.
It is a pretty epic, because I think Bethany and I had just looked at each other and are grinning over something that was said. But, you know, that was a cool panel, and I kind of wish there was more information in some ways, but I feel like the best part of that just came when we opened up Q&A, because it was kind of the way to touch face with the general fan community, because everybody on stage, again, it's the Star Wars blogosphere and podcasting community is at this point it's more connected than it ever has been, and we all follow this so closely that just to kind of have the larger fan community at large come up and talk about you know sometimes questions might to us might seem silly, or you know, sometimes I want to see Jar Jar Binks in a standalone film. Actually, I think that was Brian Young. But it was cool. That was my favorite part, was definitely the Q&A.
I did learn something from that Q&A for our panel.
Which was?
Which is what I told people, no two-part questions.
Pick your best one. I have a statement, really, and a question.
And another question.
You have a one or the other.
Yes, no, that's true. And
there is one person who asked, what was that, a four-part question?
Yeah.
I did literally lose count.
I have a four-parter here. You should have heard me. I was sitting over on the side going, no.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
And then, after that, the Tropes panel, that was a busy day. Then you guys had the Tropes panel, which was a little bit more intimate. You guys had a little bit more time to delve into the issue of Tropes, which I know was kind of a newer thing for you guys.
Yeah, and one of the authors, well, three authors were supposed to be there, Timothy Zahn, Christy Golden, and Dave Wolverton, but Dave Wolverton wasn't able to show up because he wasn't feeling well. So it was just us and Christy and Timothy Zahn, and it ended up being a really good panel, and we got a lot of good information from them, I think, and both of them are really knowledgeable, obviously, on the subject matter, so it was a really fun panel to do, and that was the first one that we got to moderate, so we were still kind of working out some of the kinks and all that, but it was good.
Mm-hmm. It was a good panel. I enjoyed the discussion on that. And again, that is in podcast format at Bookworms. And I did a write-up of it as well, if you're more into the reading side of things. But after that, we went to a quick dinner to celebrate Riley's birthday, because it was Riley's birthday during Dragon Con.
That was your birthday?
Aaron's like, I forgot.
It's a grand secret? No. It's funny because this weekend we're actually finally celebrating my birthday with family members. Like, finally. We had to skip a week last weekend, and there will finally be cake. It's not real.
There shall be cake.
I am not actually 23 until chocolate cake has been consumed.
Indeed. chocolate mocha cake at that.
Now, Teresa, I'll jump to you for this since I won't. I don't want to take all. I don't want to take all the recap. We then did the five truths and a lie. We all kind of headed over there, and got in line, and you watched.
Well, I'll take it from here. I'm gonna steal it from both Riley and Teresa.
And spiked by Bethany. Will she? Bethany runs down the field with the topic of the podcast. Will she get past the defense?
Well, that's actually kind of relevant because Teresa was watching football on her phone.
Interception! Ow!
And that's kind of what Teresa sounded like.
That was Teresa.
She was jumping up and down.
That was Teresa.
And I'm not sure if you realized it, but you did grab my arm at some point during that time, too.
Yeah, you don't want to sit next to me during a UT football game. And that's not UT, University of Tennessee. That's the University of Texas Longhorns. Yes, that Saturday was the very first Saturday of college football. And I'm from Texas, and football is the end-all be-all, especially college football. And I'm from Austin, so I had to watch my Horns on Longhorn Network, which is part of ESPN and stuff like that. And I was able to get the game, and I was freaking out because we got interceptions or we fumbled or because we almost scored or something. And I was jumping around even in my chair, and I think I freaked out both Riley and Aaron, who were sitting on either side of me a couple times.
Yes.
They're like, watch out.
But we kind of convinced you guys to go to the Five Truths and a Lie panel. It's basically a bunch of talented artists or actors who stood up and told a really crazy story about themselves. And it was five of them. One of them was lying. So we had to guess. And there were some super crazy, sketchy, and really embarrassing stories told. It was quite funny, I thought.
Yeah.
But I love because you'd be watching the football game and you'd kind of do a chair jump. I don't really know how to describe it, but you do a chair jump. Your chair would move.
It's like
you'd be like hop in the chair. And then and then the panelists would say something funny, so you'd look up and laugh, and then you'd go back to chair hopping. It was a really funny combination.
At some point, Sam Huntington looked over and was like, is she having a seizure? Is she okay? That's not
and then
true.
He met me the next day and was like, oh, you're that girl.
Yeah, you're the chair hopper.
That was like the chair hopper.
No, that was not true. Goodness. That was the we've had the five truth. That was my lie. No, it was awesome. I was trying to. So.
But afterwards, Riley and I did the Night Attack live panel, and Riley got a T-shirt with Brian Brushwood and Justin Robert Young.
You guys, pause for a second. You guys, this is kind of the thing because there are a number of podcasters who I'm huge fans of who do a lot of cool stuff at Dragon Con, and I feel like you guys need to get in on it. You guys should check out the Night Attack podcast. I'm speaking to Teresa and Aaron, and also if you're listening to this show. Because if you're listening to this, you've heard me interview Brian Brushwood and Justin Robert Young before, but those two guys are legitimately hilarious and put on a great show that night. Sorry, Beth, you were saying...
Oh, but that was the after party to that we
that
missed
was the James
Gunn
thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Feeling.
Yeah. But it was after that all of us were at the last party at Alderaan. Aaron, I'm going to throw it to you.
Am I supposed to dance?
Yes, dance.
You can't see me
chair.
Right now, but I'm dancing.
Okay, good.
No, yeah, that party was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I have to say.
Yeah.
No, it was fun.
Crazy in a bad way.
It was a lot of people there, a lot of dancing. I'm not much of a dancer myself. I more stand still and let other people dance around me. But it was fun. It was fun to be there. It was a bigger party than I imagined. I had heard rumors, but kind of downplayed it in my mind. But it was pretty legit.
Yeah. And they had an awesome DJ.
They really, really, did. Really good. I, on the other hand, am an avid dancer, and I ended up dancing with a Catwoman girl and a TARDIS girl, and I don't even know what else. Because there were so many people.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. But we got up the next morning and dragged ourselves to the Sam Witwer panel.
Definitely.
We were tired. Yeah. But it was a great panel. Brian Young was moderating it, and Sam talked about a lot of stuff, but he was really cool. I thought it was hilarious because right in the middle of the panel, like in the middle of a sentence, Sam realized that all of us, people he recognized, were sitting up front, and he saw Amy Ratcliffe, and he was like, "Hi, Amy," and then continued talking. It was really funny. I think poor Amy felt a little awkward, but it was hilarious.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where, again, that was that. I guess that was before we got to I guess the day before we actually saw him. That was the you guys had seen him already, but and Brian Young, it was an amazing panel. We have some audio of that, and actually I shot that over to the Full of Sith guy, so I imagine that that might appear in its entirety on the Full of Sith podcast at some point. If not, or I might play some highlights or maybe some of the Star Wars stuff that he talked about.
Yeah, but he as usual does amazing impressions of different Star Wars characters, and is as usual. Funny.
And there were some Force Unleashed cosplayers there that he actually waved up front and got to pose and took a picture of them in combat.
Yeah.
Of which there is photographic evidence on your on your recap. But and then of course there was the author panel and the famed picture of Riley just kind of looking on stoically as you guys are doing serious journalistic prep as panelists and press at the illustrious Dragon Con convention.
Mm-hmm. So were you guys as nervous coming into the second one as you were for the first panel that you guys
Hey, no. I was not
Teresa
nervous.
Teresa wasn't nervous.
I was
Teresa
never
was
nervous.
Cool. Teresa was...
It was me that was nervous. I think Teresa was a teeny bit nervous.
Reminder, Bethy. You're talking about the girl who's taking notes in the Episode 7 panel. It's like, no, one question.
The only part that I was nervous about was just making sure that we had our prep done.
I wasn't ever
nervous about being up on the stage or talking in front of people or being next to them or anything like that. That wasn't it. It was the teacher side of me that was like, I want to get what I need to get done, have it done, be prepared, get up there and not sound like an idiot.
She was the one that was like coaching me, because the whole time we're prepping, I'm like, oh, this is so nerve-wracking. I don't want to talk in front of people. Maybe you could just do this without me. And she's like, snap out of it. You're going to do fine. Just stop.
Slap. And tell him to only ask one question.
I think
question.
She did actually slap me at one point.
Hey, okay, really? Oh, wow. No. Secrets revealed.
I probably smacked him on the shoulder and was like, stop it now. Stop.
Stop.
No, so but funny. To answer your question, Bethany, it was a lot less nerve-wracking the second time. The first time, I feel like I got my nerves out. The second time, I was a lot more confident getting up there, even though there was way more authors the second time.
And the first time, I have to say, I was cuddling up in the very back of the room, getting set up for my perfect perched spot where I could see everybody, because I was sitting up on like a counter, and I had my laptop, and I had my phone, and I had my camera, and I had everything. Just like I had my reporter stuff surrounding me, and my water bottle, and my food. I was digging in, and then I looked up and I saw you guys had gone to the front, and you looked so nervous, Aaron, that I was just like, aw. And so I went up to the front and talked to you guys for a minute and then came back. But you guys did a great
I was hoping
job
it wasn't that obvious, but apparently it was.
And it's one of those things where I think that's so cool that you guys...
We just like to tease you.
No, but in all seriousness, I think it was so cool that you guys got that well-deserved opportunity, because you've been doing Bookworms with the Star Wars Report for quite some time. And I remember you guys coming up with the idea and me saying, well, you guys should do it on the network. And I just think that's so cool that whenever you put your passion and that much effort of your passion in Star Wars, whether it be the Expanded Universe or Clone Wars, it's always cool to see that legitimized and rewarded in the way that you guys got to moderate panels with some of these authors.
Yeah.
So that to me was a really cool part of it. And that's the way a lot of people at Dragon Con heard about Star Wars Bookworms. And I saw people like going up to you guys afterwards and saying, oh, tell me about your podcast, or, oh, I've listened to your podcast, or Star Wars Bookworms. Yeah. What's that about? So
that's
awesome.
And from my perspective, like, that was the case for me. It was the first convention. I mean, at other conventions, yes, people stop us, they say hi, they recognize us, they take photos. But this is the first convention really for me where there was a lot of that, like before and after pretty much every Star Wars panel that I was at. So that was kind of new for me to have that much of it. But I really enjoyed, I don't think I got nervous at all during the panels, but I was actually sad right before the Episode 7 panel, because Brandy said that they turned away 200 or 300 people for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, whoa. Yeah, that was crazy. They definitely need a bigger room next year, because there were a lot of people in there and they turned away several hundred. So that was interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's cool, and I think it was fun, and I think we can do so much more and do it so much better next year. There's always next year as well. So, you guys still with us by any chance? I just wanted to make sure that our connection's holding.
Yeah, yep. We're still here.
Like, cool.
Good.
Sometimes, like Skype, it's funny because Skype will actually sometimes just drop and with no warning, and then it'll tell you it's dropping, but everybody's still here. So that's good. All right, so closing out Sunday. After the author panel, Beth, you have the amazing selfie that you did with some of the amazing Star Wars track folks.
I do want to take a moment to thank those guys. They're awesome, and they run a great Star Wars program at Dragon Con.
Just a great bunch of folks.
We did go to the appreciating Aaron Alston and A.C. Crispin panel, which it wasn't really a panel. It was mainly just memories.
It was awfully
sad.
Yeah.
So I actually don't really want to talk about it very much right now.
I know. It was very sad. It was serious, but there were some great stories.
There were tears. There were laughs.
Janine Spinlove, Brian Young, and
Kevin J. Anderson.
Thank you. We're all there. And it was a cool memoriam. And it kind of gave me a peek into a side of Dragon Con that I kind of know about but haven't been involved in, and that's the writing side. Because I know that Aaron Alston has done these workshops and that Mike Stackpole does them, and that writing, like authors and writers, that's a big part of the convention, but I've never really been a part of it. But just to kind of get that peek into it was really cool. And I actually got to Brian Young, it was at the Suit Sinatra and Star Wars party where just kind of in conversation I was talking to Brian, and he's like, oh, you need to meet Janine Spinlove, and I've heard of her. I'm familiar with her just from other Dragon Con things. I know she's done workshops, but I hadn't met her before. And she's a prolific writer, but she's also, you know, huge into the fan community and involved. And she's done some cosplay, and she does Dragon Con. Also, by the way, just side note, pilot in the United States Marine Corps. Which, like, huh, that's interesting, because, of course, I'm an Air Force ROTC, as is Bethany, and so it's kind of cool to get, you know, perspective of someone like that. So I got to briefly kind of see her before all that started, and that was a cool encounter. But I digress. Yeah. It was a good time, good panel, and very, very touching stories were told. So,
but afterwards, we kind of went to recoup at Brian Young's room with Kelly Adams and a friend of theirs and Amy Ratcliffe, and watched The Masquerade, which was fun. But after that, after hanging out at the hotels for a while, we had our very late night adventures with Aaron and Teresa at McDonald's and playing, what was that card game called, you guys?
Heads Up.
Heads Up.
I hate that game.
I love that game. It's so
Riley
fun.
Was so good at that game.
I was
it was amazing.
And, goodness.
And his silence from Riley should tell you everything that you need to know.
That was that sound. That was the sound of us rolling to the next topic. No, no, I suck at that game. It was sad. The night came to an end. There was a moment where I was driving through the streets of Midtown Atlanta, and I looked at my watch, and it said 2:45, and then it said a.m., and I thought, what am I doing? And then we played Heads Up, and I thought, well, it was all worth it. No.
You were spending the last few moments available with me and Teresa. It was worth it.
It was. You know what? It was. And thus ended our adventures at Dragon Con. The following morning, you guys headed out. I mean, we did, I guess, we had the encounter with Sam Witwer the next day. But that was really, that was the end of our adventures at Dragon Con 2014. I just realized something,
sad.
Guys. Now
what?
That we've gone through and recounted all of our experiences, I think now I have permission to slide into post-con blues. I think I'm going to have delayed post-con blues.
Post-con blues is so sad.
And you guys are going to New York in like a month. I'm so jealous.
We what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get to go to New York Comic Con.
Teresa's like, oh, I totally forgot.
Oh, I totally forgot. Yes. And I am so excited. It'll be my first New York Comic Con. So Aaron's going to have to show me around, but it's going to be a blast.
I was logistically thinking, is it at all financially and time-wise possible for me to make it to New York? And then I realized there aren't even any tickets left. So it will not be in the cards for us this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. And, you know, we get to see John Jackson Miller there, Vanessa Marshall, and Jonah Marie from Making Star Wars, and, like, so many other people are going to be there. And I'm going to start my comic book sketchbook there. So super excited.
It's going to be a blast. Now, so I guess we'll just have to have you back on the podcast then and live vicariously through you as you guys experience New York Comic Con, which is, man, coming up in like less than a month now, right?
It's about a month away.
Yep, about a month away.
Wow, and evidently, I'm logging into Twitter now. Speaking of Jean-Marie, excuse me, of making Star Wars, and evidently there's a Rebel screening in New York today.
There was a Rebel screening tonight, and a bunch of people got to go to it. I know Trisha Barr was there, and Jean-Marie, Eric Geller, then Arish Shona Weiss, a bunch of people went today.
Screw all of them.
Oh, that's how I feel. I wish I could see a early preview, but I'll just wait and I'll watch it before anybody else gets to on my Watch Disney XD app. So ha.
There you go. There you go. Well, I kind of feel like that's going to be a wrap on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Tragically, it's going to be the end.
Well, before we end, really quick, I want to tell everybody about our book club.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's really cool.
Yeah, plug away.
So,
it's plug time.
Star Wars Bookworms has a book club over on Goodreads. So you just go to goodreads.com, search for Star Wars Bookworms, and we are doing A New Dawn right now. And that's cool in and of itself because we're starting off the new Star Wars canon, I guess, and with the first book. And it'll lead you right into when Rebels premieres, so with the way the book is broken down. But the coolest part, I'm going to let Aaron tell it.
The coolest part is that Delray Books actually is kind of helping us out with this, and they allowed us to have John Jackson Miller join our book club. So he's actually in there. He's in the forums answering questions, putting his thoughts, and he's actually been doing it quite a bit over the past few days. So if you're interested in getting some of your questions about the book answered directly from the author of the book, come on over to Bookworms.
Nice. And that's over at Goodreads?
Mm-hmm. Goodreads.
I'm a part of it. I'm a lurker.
Search for Star Wars Bookworms.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm a lurker. I've kind of hung out on the side, but sadly... reading The Philosophy of Aesthetics is preventing me from reading A New Dawn, which depresses me, but that's the sad reality of this college student's life. But I'm sure I will get to it at some point. But I can't wait for Rebels to come out, and I've heard great things about the book so far, so definitely check it out. Aaron and Teresa are the dynamic duo of the Star Wars Bookworms podcast, and I think it's safe to say, especially after this Dragon Con, the premier Star Wars Legends podcast when it comes to Star Wars books. If you're not listening to that podcast and you read Star Wars books, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? So head over at Star Wars Bookworms, part of the Star Wars Report, second Airborne Division of podcast at StarWarsReport.com.
They do awesome book reviews.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so Aaron Goins is at AV Goins on Twitter, and be sure to follow him, as well as Teresa. She is at Ice Cold Penguin. I promise I can talk. Ice Cold Penguin. Head over to StarWarsReport.com/about if you're new to this show. That gives you all the information that I'm about to tell you now on the podcast, in case you don't have a cybernetic brain and can remember it all. But in case you do, for all of you Cybertrons out there, here's all the information at once. Email us, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Twitter, it's twitter.com/StarWarsReport. Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Give us a call. Our voicemail line's right there as well. We've got a ton of emails coming in, and we will be getting to them very soon. Announcements are in order. Beep, 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 beep. Star Wars Report is now a Monday morning podcast. Look for it dropping in the feeds, a new episode each and every week, Monday mornings. So Mark and I and Bethany will be scheduling recording times. Right now it looks like Friday evenings will be when we record. We'll be shortly moving to a live format, so stay tuned for that. Follow us all on Twitter. We'll get you that information soon, and we'll be recording this very podcast live in front of you guys over ye old internet. So that's what you want to know. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Riley Guy. My wonderful sister Bethany, she is at Bethany L. Blanton. And that's going to do it for this podcast.
I wonder how many of our listeners, just as a side note, know what the L stands for.
Your middle name.
Middle name. Well, it does.
Action figure to Teresa. No, I think you meant specifically what it stands for.
Yes. Lynn.
Nope. Aaron?
It is actually one syllable.
Though. Lauren.
No, one syllable.
Yeah.
I have no guesses.
This is a great podcast. Well, that's your challenge.
We'll see if anybody can guess it.
StarWarsReport@gmail.com. What is Bethany's middle name? It starts with an L and it's one syllable. Oh, man. That's going to put this episode in the books. Another episode of the Star Wars Report. Aaron, Teresa, thank you guys so much for coming on. It was a blast. It was a disjointed mess of a fun podcast because it was a disjointed mess of a fun convention. So thanks for coming on.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, man. I have officially run out of energy for my day. That's going to put a wrap on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. There it is, folks.
They're in.
Another episode in the can. Good God, I'm tired.